one and then, okay, yeah, that's perfect. So, we'll just... Okay, before it preaches. I was going to say, like, before the song, that's, then you're gone. Okay, we'll end off with the chorus.
Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Great to be here on this Wednesday night. Amen. I know maybe you're tired. Maybe you've had a lot going on, but we have a God that's worthy of praise. And I don't know what he's done for you, but he's done a lot for me. And I don't want a Wednesday night. I don't want it to just be one service wasted, that I could have given him glory and praise for something that he has done in my life. Amen. So let's just all together collectively raise our hands and just ask the Lord to be in this place with us tonight. Lord Jesus, God, we come before you. Lord, we are asking, God, that your presence would sweep over this room tonight, Jesus. God, that you would have your perfect will and way in this place. Lord Jesus, touch every heart, touch every life, touch every need, touch every situation. Prepare our heart for the word tonight, Lord Jesus. And as we lift you up and glorify your name, help us to create an atmosphere, Lord Jesus, where lives can be healed and changed and touched and delivered. Would you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place? Lord Jesus, you are worthy. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just a couple announcements for the next couple weeks. We have Taken It to the Streets coming up next Sunday, a week from this Sunday. Sister Davis mentioned that be prepared to have a change of clothes right after service to get ready. Think of maybe bringing something to eat also, or Uber Eats, something like along the lines of that. And then on the 27th, we are going to have a department head meeting. So there'll be no PM activity here. And then this coming Sunday evening, we will have corporate prayer. So let's have prayer for our offering. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, with brothers and sisters of like precious faith, Lord. I pray, Lord, you bless this offering. Bless our time together. Anoint it, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Bless every faithful and cheerful giver and the ones given by faith this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet one another, Jesus.
You're the only one. creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Wonder, awestruck wonder.
One more time, let's lift up the name of Jesus. God, you're holy. God, you're holy. God, you're holy. God, there's none like you. There's none beside you. God, you are on the throne. God, we praise you. We lift you up. We glorify you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. God, you are good. Amen. Amen. We want to take up any needs that we have as the body. In prayer, we do know Sister Joelle Day sent my wife and I a text. She is not feeling well. She's had issues with her back, and she feels like she's coming out with a cold. So keep her in your prayers. It's good to see Sister Shannon. We had her and Levi in prayer, and continuing to pray for them. Any other prayer requests, any other needs that we have represented, Brother Mike? Amen. Amen. A situation at work. Sister Callum. Yeah, we want to keep Sister Rita Wright, or keep the Wright family. I've been told by both Brother Davis, Brother and Sister Davis, also Brother Kellum, informed of that family and the connections to this church. We want to make a special moment of prayer tonight. Pray for that family. Pray for all. I mean, you all know who's connected more than I do. So we just want to lift them up and pray that God sends his angels of peace there to that family, and to you as well, to the entirety of the family. Also do have a announcement, or I'm not sure what to call it, but you'll see we've done something. For lack of a better word, we're going to come up with a better title. I don't know if we have a better name for it, but this is a prayer jar. And this is specifically, we're going to pause in every service and try and lift up names of family members that are connected to the church that are no longer living for the Lord, or no longer just where they should be. God knows the situation. If you look, there's already a few names in here, but Sister Christy has put this together, and how it works, it's very simple. There's different colors. You can choose whatever you want. There's an ink pen, but just put someone's name. You know the name. You have the ability to tie it up. We're not making a big deal. We're not calling anybody out. This isn't what this is about. This is just believing that when we put these names in, and when we take a special moment to pray over these names, that God sees. wherever they're at, we all have family members that we need to lift up in prayer. And I believe that when we bring these names before God, God will move and God will work. And Sister Christy was at a church and they did this, and they've been doing this, and they've seen results. When we pray, we see results. And so we're going to, at the end of service or Sunday or at any time, there's an ink pen. Just fill out a name, throw it in the jar, and then we're going to pray and lift these names up. So keep that in mind. Did want to make a special announcement. Any other requests? Sister Kellum? Well, let's take a moment. Let's lift up each and every one of these needs to God right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for the presence we feel in this place. God, I pray, Lord, that you will work in these needs. There's job needs, there's healing, there's peace. There's all kinds of different needs that are represented in this place. God, but we're asking you to move. We're asking you to minister. Do what only you're able to do. God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. I pray, God, for each and every one of these prodigals. God, you know the needs. You know who they are. We pray that you would send your angels, send comfort. Draw them back into the church. Draw them back into where they belong. God, soften their hearts right now. Prick their hearts. I pray we lift them up before you. We thank you, God, that you're reaching. We thank you, God, that you know where they're at and you love them and you're reaching for them. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Why don't we thank him right now? Why don't we offer up a praise to him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for what we feel here. We thank you, God, that you're reaching and you're touching. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. At this time, we'd like to dismiss our teen class. They're dismissed to go to class. And we want to stand. I'm going to stay standing. I'm going to read the reading of the word. And I'll go ahead and turn our attention to that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Second Timothy 2, verse 11, it says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." My hope over the next couple of weeks is to establish, I'm not sure how long we're going to go in this, but just felt, even before, I think before our first Sunday, we were driving here, my wife and I kind of felt this coming together before we even had a chance to minister, just a series of who God really is. Who is our Savior? We know he's our Savior. We know he's the Creator. That's kind of big picture. We want to break down the characteristics of God and who God really is. And so we're going to kick that off tonight, and we're calling it God is Faithful. Why don't we bow our heads and let's ask God to move on this Wednesday night service. God, we thank you, Lord, for what we felt during worship, what we felt during prayer. God, you are truly in this place and you are truly faithful. God, so we are asking you to visit us tonight. God, I pray that your spirit would touch us, would speak to us. God, prepare our hearts to hear your word. God, let it be your word and not mine, and let it fall on good soil. God, I pray you remove Titus out of the equation and let your word go forth. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, we kind of called it, for lack of a better word, God is. And before we really get into detail, before we really get into the minutiae of this, I wanted to start first by taking a step back and looking at who God on a big picture really is. And we know the usual, the standard, and I feel like I repeat in my head, you know, when I talk about God, I always go to creator of the universe. I'm not sure why that's my first descriptor that comes, but that's just what I think of him first. I mean, he created the heavens and the earth. He is the creator of the universe. But I want to look in the scripture at the first time we really see who God is, looking in Exodus chapter 3, the story we know very well. And I'm going to read a passage, a couple of scriptures in Exodus chapter 3, starting with verse 11. It says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you." Moses, in this moment, we know this passage well, and we know the call of Moses, but he was struggling. If you read the scriptures leading up to before, Moses lists about 12 different reasons that why he's inadequate. Why I stutter. I'm just going to stutter, and they won't accept me. Or I've sinned. I'm not perfect. You can't use me. And time after time, God is telling him, yeah, but what about me? What about me? And finally he says here, well, they're going to ask me your name. I'll look pretty silly if I don't even know the name of this God, this being that I'm representing. And God says to him, I am that I am. It's interpreted as Yahweh, which is the one who is always present. That's who he's saying he is. And in later text in the New Testament, it's he was, or who was, who is to come. He's always present. There never was a time before him. There never will be a time after him. It's just God. It's just his spirit. It's just his presence, which may be why whenever I spoke earlier might be why I just go to the creator of the universe, because I can't really, as human, understand outside of the universe. I don't really understand the universe itself, but much far beyond that, I can't understand outside of the universe, because I only live in time. I only live in space, and God created it and stands outside of time and space, and he's always present. We could stop right there, and we could leave our description at that, and we'd be done with the series pretty quickly. We'd figure out what to do. We'd play games for the next couple of Wednesday nights. But instead, I did want to delve deeper into that, because at times that can overwhelm somebody. It's overwhelmed me, especially when I was a child. It's overwhelming to think beyond time and space, and we just cannot wrap our minds around it. And so I was thinking about this, and I was likening it to when you're a child. When you're a child, you don't really understand the different characteristics of your dad. You don't understand that he's a father, but he's also a husband. He's an uncle. He's an employee. He might be a boss. He's all of these things. He's the funny guy, or he's the strict guy. And really, as a child, you just know him as dad. He's all of those things, but really, as a child, he's dad. As a child, he is the I am. He's whatever you need him to be when you're a child. He makes you laugh. He picks you up when you're sad. He spanks you when you're bad. That's who dad is. But the older you get, you learn that there's more to dad than just being dad. And that's the intent of this series. We understand that God is dad, if you'll allow me to continue with that. And he's in control, he's on the throne, he's in charge, but we want to look at some of the characteristics that truly define who he is. Now, we could go for the next 52 weeks if we were trying to define every single characteristic and beyond. I'm not limiting God to a year. Man, we're not, don't be afraid, I'm not going to be doing this for 52 weeks. Well, we'll see, I don't know, there's a lot of characteristics. But over the next couple of weeks, I think we have 6 or 7, and my wife just added one. My wife doesn't know this yet, but my wife's going to be teaching one of these because we were, I think, laying in bed the other night or driving in the car, and she said, I'm not even going to spoil what it is, but she was talking about her reading, and it was this, and it was this, and I said, yeah, you're going to teach that one. So if you have a good idea, be careful because you'll have the microphone. But that leads us to tonight. God is faithful. And I felt led to start with this one because I felt as we ended last Wednesday night, we were talking about being consistent and we were talking about being faithful. And I felt it just, we had entered into talking about God's faithfulness. And I felt as I left, God was faithful. And so I was encouraged because I, in this season of life, as I spoke last Wednesday night, that's been the characteristic most I've thought about God. Over the last couple of months, when we didn't see how, when we didn't know what was going to happen, when we couldn't explain it, God was faithful. At other times, he's joy. At other times, he's hope. At other times, he's Jesus. He's all of those things. But in this particular season of our life, I would have to say that God has been faithful. And that leads us to our text that I read earlier, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It says, it is a faithful saying, if we are dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. I want to break that down, what Paul is writing to Timothy. The first passage in verse 11. If we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we're dead, we will live. And it seems that Paul is referring to the very words of Jesus in Mark chapter 8, verse 35. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And so it's who gives himself up, he'll live with me. And we understand that give and take. And the second part, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 17 and 18, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We suffer. We suffer as we sit in air conditioning. We all drove here in cars. We all have food in our fridge. We all are probably, if you're like my wife and I, are already thinking about Taco Bell on the way home. So we suffer. Oh, we suffer. And it's, and boy, we all suffer. I'm calling myself out. But we think that we suffer. But, I mean, Paul really suffered. And I'm not going to go into what Paul went through, but Paul was even saying, if anybody suffered, Paul suffered. But he was saying, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared of the glory. We're nothing, no suffering, and I'm not trying to downplay. I know we actually do go through trials and tribulations, and I'm not trying to downplay any of that. But those real trials that you experience are pale in comparison to the glory that we are going to receive someday. And Paul is, he's referring to that in this main text, that if you die, you will live. If you suffer, you shall reign. And then he goes a step further in verse 12, if you deny him, he'll deny you. I feel like he was also representing Jesus' words again in Mark 8, 38. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus also said in Matthew 10, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before me, or before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. It makes sense, this entire passage. If you die out to me, you'll live for me. If you suffer, you'll reign with me. If you deny me, I will deny you. And we understand it's a give and take, and it makes complete sense. But then he ends that passage in verse 13. It says, if we believe not, he still abides faithful. Another translation says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. He's saying that it's a tit for tat. It's a you do this, I do that. You do this, I do that. Then it gets to this. And if you are unfaithful, I will still be faithful. Where in man's eyes, if you are unfaithful, I will be unfaithful back to you. That's, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's just the way it is. But with God, he says, if you are unfaithful, I will still be faithful because that's who I am and I cannot deny myself. He's saying, even if you are the most unfaithful person, even if he wanted to, which he doesn't, he could not be unfaithful because that's who he is. Even if he wanted to be. And so in spite of your inadequacies, in spite of your shortcomings, we all have shortcomings, we all are inadequate in comparison of the glory of God. In spite of all that, he says, yeah, but I'm still faithful. So you can rest in that and you can hold on to that. That maybe you haven't been who you're supposed to be. Maybe you haven't truly been faithful. But don't get so worked up in your mind that God has left you, that God is not going to come through this next time. God will come through. God, the scripture, he cannot deny himself. Even if he wanted to, it's like a mother not loving her child. Even if they've done the worst things, even if they've, whatever, done bad things, a mother's love, they just cannot help but to love their children. And God is still constant, he's still faithful, and he's never going to leave you. Paul writes in Romans 3, I'll read this in the NLT. It gets a little cumbersome, at least to me, in the King James. But in the NLT, Romans chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, it says, what's the advantage of being a Jew? Is there any value in the ceremony of circumcision? Yes, there are great benefits. First of all, the Jews were entrusted with the whole revelation of God. True, some of them were unfaithful, but just because they were unfaithful, does that mean God will be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. Pause. As the scriptures say about him, you will be proved right in what you say, and you will win your case in court. That he's saying, and it says in the King James, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. Just because you were unfaithful, does that make God unfaithful? No. Just because every man is a liar, just because every man may come together and lie, does that mean God lies? No. No, God forbid. Of course not. Let God be true and every man a liar. And we don't count faithfulness because man is faithful. We don't care about the faithfulness of God because of the faithfulness of a pastor. We do not rest upon the faithfulness of a pastor. We do not rest upon the faithfulness of a bishop. That if we rest upon that, we will be disappointed, we will be brokenhearted because that is a man. We rest upon the faithfulness of God. If you put your trust and you put your hope and you put all your faith in man, you will at one point in your life be disappointed. But if you put that trust in God, you will never be disappointed, you will never be hurt, you will have a faithful, faithful God who's with you. God himself is always true. We have to know. My hope, my plan, my goal is that we walk out of here, not that we don't already know this, but that we're reminded that God is faithful. God is faithful. God is constant. He is the same. He cannot change. God's faithfulness is not just to encourage you, it's also to protect you. It's also to keep you. It's also to guard you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord is faithful to establish you. The Lord is faithful to protect you from evil. Not all men are faithful. Not everyone is going to be on your side. I think we all could stand and attest that we could say not every man is out for me or is out to support me, is out to be faithful. Not every woman is out to encourage me. Unfortunately, we live in a dark world, and the world does not want to see us live for God. They don't know why. Have you ever had someone that has no reason to attack you for being a Christian or no reason to attack you for going to church, but yet they do? And they have no, and if you actually challenged them and had a real conversation where you just said, hey, let's get a cup of coffee, let's just sit, and just said, why are you doing this to me? What did I do to you? I think oftentimes they would probably step back and they'd probably put up a wall, but then they'd probably be in their car driving home and think, well, why is it? Because her hair's long, or is it because they don't go party, or they don't laugh at my jokes, or why is that? And it's because the world, they see what we have, and they want something more, but yet they're so afraid of someone else getting it, so they just pull you back down. And they, with their unfaithfulness, they try and attack. They try and drag you down. They want you to just blend in with the rest of us. Don't stand out. But God does not desire that. God desires more for us. And so just because man may be unfaithful to you, just because he may attack you, the scripture says the Lord will establish you. The Lord will put you in a position. The Lord will protect you from evil. His word says so. They may attack or try and bring you down, but hold on to his word, and he's going to protect you. We don't worry about those attacking us. It's easy to say on a Wednesday night in church from a microphone, don't worry about them, they're fine, you know, shake them off, let them be the dust of your feet. It's very easy to say that in this element. I understand that. But be encouraged that God is faithful, and if they're trying to attack you, he will keep you from harm. He will establish you. He will establish your walk. He will establish your call. He will establish your ministry. He is going to establish you. Sister Deanna just mentioned a prayer request for a coworker, and I'm excited that she's praying for a coworker, that we're stepping out. And it'd be very easy in that moment for that coworker, if he's not in the right mindset, to lash out and to say, I don't need your prayer. I don't who do you think you are? I've had people say that to me. I don't need your prayer. Pray for me? What's that going to do? And they've gone on the offensive or gone on the defensive. But in those times, shake them off and know that who cares what they're going to do? No attack that they could muster. No, they could go get their coworkers and say, we're going to get Sister D. We're going to attack her. And she just shakes them off because she knows God is faithful. And she knows that God is with her. And whatever attack comes, he is going to keep her. He's going to keep us from evil. We do not fear temptation, for God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He's writing to the Corinthian church of the Israelites just in the previous scriptures, and he tells them what the Israelites were, and he pleads with them. He says, neither be idolaters, neither let us commit fornication, neither let us tempt Christ, neither murmur ye. And right before he says this scripture, he puts, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. He's trying to petition the Corinthian church, and he's trying to petition us today. Be very mindful. I love how he put it. If you think you are standing strong, be careful. Be careful. What are you standing strong in? Are you standing strong in yourself? Are you, I got this. I don't need nobody. I'm a strong, independent man. I've been doing it on my own for 30 years. I'll keep doing it on my own. Or do you realize that I am man? I am broken. I am unfaithful. I am bruised. I am battered. I that's who I am. But God is here to keep me, and God is here to protect me. And so he leads into that to say that no temptation has taken you but that which is common, but God is faithful, that he's already provided a way out. God is so faithful. He's so faithful that he knows the situation that you're going to get into, and he sees that situation, and he's already provided an escape to that situation. He's playing Chinese checkers chess while we're just playing tic-tac-toe. You know, he's not two steps ahead. God is 10 steps ahead. And when the enemy thinks that he's set a trap, he's set temptation, he's set a snare, and oh, this is going to get Titus. This is going to trip him up. I'm going to do this. God is standing back, watching the whole thing unfold and say, yeah, but I've already provided a way out because I'm faithful. I've already provided a way to escape because I'm faithful, and I'm not going to leave them in a temptation. I'm not going to leave them in a trap, in a trial with no way out. If you're in a situation and you feel like there's no way out, God is faithful. God's already provided a way to escape. You may not see it yet. It may not look like a way to escape, but God has already provided an opportunity for you to come through. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. This is not in my notes, and I might get in trouble, so I should move on. But I feel this, so here we are. I'm going to open this up, and please don't abuse this. But does anybody want to say, has God been faithful? Is there anybody want to give a short, a little testimony of a time where God was faithful in your life? You don't have to. I don't know if anybody does, but I just felt that. Sister Christy. He does. It's just how he works. I think I said it on Sunday, but thank God we don't get what we want. I mean, thank God that he's faithful enough to know what we need and not just say, oh, you want that? You've prayed for that? Okay, here it is. Oh, how terrible, how spoiled and ugly, and it'd be so bad. But thank God that he knows better than what we know, and he is always faithful, and he is going to show up. Amen. Thank you for doing that. Sorry I did that, but thank you. As we're moving to a close, but we should also rejoice that our God is faithful. It's a good thing to know. It's a good thing to be encouraged, but we should rejoice that our God is faithful. The psalmist put it like this, Psalms 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Psalms 23 is such a beautiful text, such a beautiful scripture of just God's faithfulness. It's just, it couldn't be penned, those six verses, in a prettier way to just fully surmise how faithful God is. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We know it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. He restoreth my soul. When my body is beaten, my will is broken, my family is falling apart. All that is important, but none of that matters in comparison to your soul. And God reaches through all the mire, and he says, I see your soul, and I'll restore your soul. And in that moment, even though your world is falling apart, even though it's ugly, it's not how it should be, he restores your soul. And that peace that people ask you, how are you smiling? Yeah, I know what's going on in your life, and it's not good. How are you smiling? And you say, but God, he restores my soul. He walks with me. He talks with me. Psalms 91 and verse 1 in the English Standard Version. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. We could continue on. There's many other passages. There's many other scriptures that refer to the faithfulness of God. And we could go for another hour tonight just talking about the faithfulness of God. But his faithfulness is a shield. It's a shield. And it's a shield. When the enemy comes up against you, you got God's faithfulness. That no dart, no fiery dart that the enemy could shoot at you, no barb that someone could speak at you, no verbal attack, no backstab that someone could. There's a shield on your back. There's a shield on your side. His faithfulness is a shield unto you. And God is faithful. If we could stand as we close. Over the next few weeks, we're going to continue on, just breaking down, just determining, trying to get a picture. And maybe not each and every one will be something that you're particularly going through. And or it may not relate necessarily to who you are, but it's who God is. We understand that he's all powerful. We know that he's the creator. But at times, it's very easy to get so bogged down in the throes of life that we can say, I understand God created the universe. However, I have a car note that's due on Friday, and I have no clue how I'm going to pay it. It's great that God can create the universe. It's great that he can speak life. He breathed life into existence. He created every animal. He created every insect. Oh, what wisdom God has. How great is that? But when you're going home to a broken family and you have a situation that it just has to be resolved by the end of the week, or else you don't know what's going to happen, it's hard to picture the Creator. But if you can look through all that and you can just get a snapshot tonight that God is faithful. God is faithful. He knows exactly what you need to get through today. He knows, Sister Kellum, he knows about your niece. That situation, we cannot do anything but put it into God's hand. And when we put that into God's hand, God says, I'm faithful. They lost Medicare. They don't know what they're going to do. God doesn't say, oh, if only I had Medicare, I could move in this situation. If only I had a kidney, oh, where could I find a kidney? Then I could move in this situation. God says, I'm bigger than that. I'm stronger than that. I am faithful. I'm not limited by man. I'm not limited by insurance. I am God. I am God. And as we close tonight, and I know it's a Wednesday night, so I don't want to labor long. I understand we have work, but I do want us just to bow our heads right where we're at and just get an image. Let's just spend a few moments in prayer, determining who God is in your life, determining what situation you need God to be faithful in. Why don't we call upon his name right now? God, we know that you've been faithful. God, you cannot deny yourself. You are faithful. That is who you are. God, even if you didn't want to be, you are faithful. And I'm asking you, God, open our eyes to see your faithfulness. I pray that everybody this week could come back to church next Wednesday night and they could lift up their hand and say, oh, this past week, God, you were faithful. I didn't know how you were going to be faithful, but God, you showed up in a mighty way. God, I didn't see it before, but now I see how you've been carrying me. Now I see how you've been protecting me. Now I see how you've been my shield. How you've been my armor. How you've kept me from every attack of the enemy. Now I can see it. Now I see that you are faithful. God, show yourself to this church. God, I pray in the supernatural, in the physical, God, in the spiritual, God, in the financial, God, in the physical, in the bodies, in the healings, God, in Sister Joella's body, God, in these needs that are represented, God, and Brother Mike's job situation, and Sister Deanna's coworker situation, God, you are going to be faithful this week. And Sister Kellum's family, that need, God, you are going to be faithful this week. You are going to show yourself in a mighty way. Oh, we thank you for that. God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I believe my challenge to you, and I don't often issue challenges, and you can take it for what it is, but my challenge to you is to be intentional about your day as you go on through the week, into Sunday, into next Wednesday night, and just challenge yourself to have open eyes to see how God has been faithful. If we could only see just for a day into the supernatural, to see the angels that are with us in the car, to see how he's protected us from sickness, how he's, bills have maybe even been in the mail and he did something that we didn't even see before. If we could only get just a minor glimpse of his faithfulness, we would never doubt, we would never question, we would know that the Almighty sees us and he is faithful. Why don't we, as we close, let's just thank him for that. God, we thank you, Lord, for being in this place. We thank you, God, that you're faithful. We thank you, God, that you're here and you know each and every need. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You are dismissed tonight. Shake someone's hand. Hug someone's neck. Tell them you love them with the love of the Lord. You're dismissed.